Hello and welcome to DMing 101 from the RPG Academy. If you are unfamiliar with the RPG Academy, we are primarily a podcast. We've been podcasting for about 4.5 years. We have over 400 episodes of audio-only content that you can find and enjoy over at www.therpgacademy.com. Today, however, we are doing a YouTube-specific video called DMing 101, and those are videos where we talk directly to the audience, and that would be you. And then specifically, this is a synergy session, which is the name we came up for when we grab a pack of Magic the Gathering cards, open them up, and use those cards as inspiration to create an encounter, an adventure, or an entire campaign. We will open the pack, go back and forth, talk about it. At the end, we'll kind of revise it, circle back around, and hopefully at the end, we will have an idea that you could take to your home games and use, or at least the concept that we're doing, you could use that as well. My guest today is Devin from the Sharkbone Podcast. Devin, say hello to everyone.
Hello to everyone. How is everyone doing?
I love your radio voice. I get jealous every time I hear it.
Well, thank you. It's still early in the morning, so it's a little deeper than normal. It gets higher as the day goes by and I get tired.
All right. Well, I've got you early, which is the perfect time. So Devin is part, again, you're the chief shark boner of the Sharkbone Podcast, which is a part of the RPG Academy network of shows. Yay! So
indeed.
For anyone who doesn't know you or your work, tell us, what is the Sharkbone Podcast?
The Sharkbone Podcast is a feeding frenzy of RPG ideas. That is the tagline, and that's what we try and do with every episode. The old show consisted of usually watching a movie and then mining that movie for story ideas and then talking about mechanics. But the current iteration of the show, we primarily do world building. We come up with places, faces, events, and things that happen in this Sharkbone Podcast sandbox world that we've created. And then also this season, we're creating adventures in that sandbox. And we also do some other kind of shows where we publish some APs and we do some nerd talk in our Pod Chatter episodes. So we try and do a little bit of everything, but everything is geared towards inspiring people's games and making them better.
Awesome. And the we in that sentence is Christopher, who is your co-host.
Indeed.
And where can people find you and your work on the internet?
You can find us, sharkbonepodcast.com, or if you want to touch base with me, the best place is Twitter, at shark_bone, and Christopher is at eldritchfire.
Fantastic. So with all that out of the way, we will get into the synergy session. I will point out, for anyone watching like I am, there is a glare on Devin's forehead that makes it look like you have a computer monitor. I expect there to be a readout at some point. Nice. Okay, so now Devin, you know what a synergy session is. You've listened to our show before. We do have a few examples on our audio only podcast, but you've never actually done one before. Since you're my guest, I will let you choose. I have a sampling of Magic the Gathering cards from four of the different sets that were at least current as of Walmart, because I'm with their bottom. So we have an Eldritch Moon pack, a Kaladesh pack, a Shadows Over Innistrad pack, and then the Aether Revolt. Do you have a preference as to which one we use?
I'm really sad that we don't have any Zendikar cards.
Zendikar is my favorite just because of the land cards. I will go through and specifically find the Zendikar full color or full portrait land cards for any of my Magic the Gathering cards.
Oh, yeah. Zendikar is fantastic. I love that one. But I think I'm going to choose the Eldritch one.
I was thinking because of Christopher, maybe, you know, that kind of works.
He's here with us in spirit.
In
now.
Spirit, all right. So, so again, some of this will be cut out for the show. For anyone currently wondering, I am going to throw up pictures of the card so that you will be able to see them. I'm not going to try to hold the card up to the camera because I'm sure that will not look good. the way I like to do it, we will look at them in reverse order. So just the way you would if you cracked a pack at your local game store. That's the order we're going to go through them. We can use anything from the card as our inspiration. It can be the art, which is often very invocative, the name of the card, the type of card, the mechanics on the card, or the fluff, the flavor text. Anything on there that sort of strikes our fancy is what we're going to use. Now, so Devin, since you will be able to see these, I'm going to have to read it to you and kind of show it to you. Again, I probably will cut most of that out for the actual show. So our first card is a Borrowed Grace. It's an instant. It has a mechanic called Escalate, which I'm not familiar with because I haven't been playing Magic for a while. But you pay this cost for each mode chosen beyond the first. So it sounds like you can basically, it has multiple effects and you can do more than one of them if you pay extra. And the options are the creatures you control get a +2/+0, or they get a +0/+2. So basically you're pumping up your creatures.
Okay.
So is there anything about that card, Borrowed Grace and increasing your creature's power, that that strikes you as something that we could use in an adventure?
Oh, I'm sure I can come up with something. I really like the art. You've got that person in white with the yellow light blasting, and then that guy. The card's not very big on Gatherer.com, so I don't... It looks like he's being burned away or something.
Yes. It could also be that they're like metamorphosizing into something else. So basically the first thing I'm thinking of is kind of like dire versions of normal creatures.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, you're in a typical town, village, settlement, and then something's happening in the forest around you or the scrublands or whatever, and these larger, aggressive versions of creatures are starting to threaten your settlement. So, of course, the brave adventurers need to go into that land and figure out what's happening.
Yeah. I'm thinking of a bad guy who is going around and yanking holy energy from poor townsfolk and using it to boost himself or something like that. So that guy holding the emblem would actually be the bad guy in my idea.
It's almost like he's draining the life force of other people unbeknownst to them.
Yeah.
Okay. I do like that. I also like the idea of almost like genetic splicing. So like I'm drawing the energy from like a wolf and I put that energy into a rabbit and then I have a dire rabbit with wolf-like fangs or other less hilarious versions. But basically you're mixing species to make them more aggressive or more powerful. You know, it's a Island of Dr. Moreau feel. All right, let's move on.
I dig it.
All right, our next card is called Drag Under. If you're going to use that program, I'll... Drag Under is a sorcery. The image is a man on a boat being attacked by, looks like an octopus kraken sort of situation.
Yep. I see it now.
You return the target creature to its owner's hand. You also can draw a card. The flavor text here is, some took their own boats to escape the unfolding nightmare. The remains of their vessels now litter the shores of Nephalia. So basically we have an ocean-going vessel or sea vessel of some sort being attacked by animals. Is there anything with that strikes your fancy for what we could use?
I think it's really cool, but I think it's probably going to play off of other cards for me. It doesn't inspire anything immediately.
So, again, and just sort of using as inspiration, the only thing I'm thinking of is that whatever settlement is being under attack or being experimented on, whatever, it is secluded and people can't get away. So it doesn't have to be the ocean, but anybody, like someone says, hey, they pack up and say they're going to get out of here because all the dire weasels, anyone who tries to escape is either captured, killed, or pushed back. They're not able to get away. And again, that could be the same animals just won't let them situation.
Sure.
Okay. Okay. So our next card here is called Wolfkin Bond. It's an enchantment.
All right.
And basically you enchant a creature. When it enters the battlefield, you get a +2/+2 green wolf creature token on the battlefield, and the enchanted creature gets +2/+2. So to me, this lines up perfectly with the other two, is that you have a person that is able to sort of mind link with these animals and control them. Again, very much Island of Dr. Moreau. This could even be something, maybe the heroes, we do an encounter or an adventure specific power. That part of maybe the reason they're chosen is that they have this bond that manifests because of these creatures, and they have some ability to control them so that they are able to get past the level one sentries and further into the woods. Anything on your side? And again, this is a back and forth. This isn't just me telling you what I'm thinking. You can argue, change, submit your own ideas.
Well, I'm going from the opposite end again. This seems like the minions from the big bad from the very first card, the Stolen Grace card. So he's out there and he's not only stealing life energies from people, he's also gathering animals and stuff. And so he's gone out and gathered a pack of forest wolves or something. And then he uses his talisman to link and bind some foot soldiers along with those wolves, and so they become a bonded pair of minions that he can send. And, you know, maybe the people take on some wolf traits, and so they can run 50 miles in a day cross country. Maybe they're a little more feral, so they can smell stuff better. And maybe the wolf has got greater intelligence. It understands how to use tools and stuff, so that could be a pretty frightening enemy to encounter.
Yeah, I like the idea. What you said there made me think it's almost like a sorceress version of lycanthropy,
mm-hmm.
where rather than being cursed and get the powers of the wolf, they're using some magic or an item, an artifact that was found to do the same thing, and they get all the traits of the wolf, but in exchange, some of their essence goes into the wolf as well. And I said that could be a very cool encounter where you've got these couple bonded pairs of basically werewolves, but they're not cursed. And then you have these wolves that have the intelligence of men that are fighting with them. That could be a pretty awesome encounter.
Yeah, yeah. If you used right, that would be pretty frightening.
Awesome. So the first three, I think, work really well together. Sometimes we'll find that the cards don't fit, and it is completely okay. There is no rule that we have in this that we have to use every card. Some of them we can just, it doesn't fit, move on. So the next card is Skurstag Supplicant.
Skurstag Supplicant?
Yeah.
How do you spell that?
Skirstdag. Skurstag Supplicant.
Skurstag. Oh, geez.
It's okay. A creature, a human cleric. Discard a card. Each player loses two life. The text here is, I can no longer stand by as these Skurstag infiltrators rot the church from within. Even the Lunark Council is compromised. What a fool I've been.
Oh, goodness.
I think this fits actually very well, that there's probably a temple of some sort, maybe a sort of a backwater church that's in this place where this is happening. And, you know, typical tropey cycle of the werewolf, maybe it's the priest who's doing this. You know, they're secretly the bad guy, but they're also openly, you know, the protector. Maybe while they're having services, that's when they're leeching off the power from all their congregation. The artifact is in the church in some way, and they're doing these prayers. And, you know, everybody comes to church. Everyone leaves feeling better, but they've actually been drained. Or maybe they've had some of these animal energies put inside them, and the ones who are most affected become his thralls quicker. So the more hardy right. of the town are turning faster than the others.
Okay. I like that. I actually like that better than the idea I was thinking of. I was thinking that, well, it looks like they're holding some kind of knife or something over their head and they're covered in blood, at least in the small picture I'm looking at.
Yeah, there's definitely some red on the white. I don't know if it's blood or just decoration.
Yeah, I can't really tell on the small image I'm looking at. But I was thinking that this might be the way the church is trying to fight back against this person who's stealing the grace and combining human and animal into these unholy abominations and stuff. And the only way they know how to do it is to draw on forbidden black magic.
Ooh, so fight fire with fire situation.
Yeah.
So they create their own version to fight, which nothing ever goes wrong when you do that.
No, nothing ever goes wrong.
Awesome. No, I think either way, so either the bad guy could be part of the church, or again, he could even be both. Maybe he's part of the church, and he or she is using this power for their own. The church says, we have to find a way to stop it. He's like, well, you know, I've been reading these books,
mm-hmm.
and he's secretly getting them to do his own work for him, but they think they are fighting against him.
Yeah, I like that. I was also thinking that maybe he was in the upper echelons of the church and he stole that talisman that gives him the ability to steal grace.
Yes.
Because it was something that he used in his daily office jobs for the church. But then he was just like, either the church was getting corrupt or he decided, I am doing all this for the people and I'm not getting anything in return. So I'm going to go look out for number one. And so the church now doesn't have this talisman that they depended on, and so they turn to the dark magic to fight him, to bring him back to get that talisman.
I also like the idea that the church still has it, but they don't know its true power. You know, this is like an ancient thing that it does a thing. They know it does that thing, so they use it for that thing, not knowing that its true power is this other thing that he has discovered or she has discovered. So she allows them to have it, but at night or certain times whenever it's like off time, he uses it for his own nefarious purposes.
Wow. I like it. Awesome. That's good.
This next one goes right as well. It's Crossroads Consecrator. I'm sure I'm saying that wrong. Basically, it looks like a holy man that maybe almost like a traveling priest giving blessings to some common folk. The text is, may your steel of your blade match the steel in your soul. So it's possible maybe this is who's behind everything. This traveler from the church from beyond, you know, they're on a pilgrimage and maybe they come to either fight the thing or they are the ones that are actually doing the thing.
All right. Yeah, it's Crossroads Consecrator. So it's a priest that blesses people as he wanders around the world, I guess. The Crossroads gives me the idea he's a traveling priest.
Right, that me too.
I don't know that I would make this guy the big bad or the person that's using the talisman for his own ends. This seems to me more like it would be a group of traveling priests or monks or something, and they've decided that this war between the high priest and the church that the high priest left is hurting the people. And so he's like wandering around and blessing people because the people are obviously going to revolt now because they don't like being caught in the middle of this religious civil war. And so these priests are wandering around and helping foment that rebellion.
How about this? It's the red herring. So this group of traveling priests came through a month before things started to go bad. So of course everyone's going to believe they were behind it because they came and then things went bad. And that gives you a red herring where the PCs go after them, you know, and then they're like, well, actually we had nothing to do with it, but we did lose an item while we were in your town, you know, so-and-so's prized artifact went missing. We thought we lost it or something like that.
I like it. Or they could come upon the consecrator's base of operations and find them all slaughtered. Like, well, obviously they didn't do it.
Obviously they didn't do it. But then they have to raise as undead because you still have to have a fight. There might be a card later for that. Okay. Next card is Convolute. And it's a blue. Basically, it's a counter spell unless the controller pays extra. The text is, there's no sense in arguing with insanity.
Okay.
So basically, it's a counter spell. This is a situation, I mean, again, thematically, it could be the denial of power. So it could be that whatever this this artifact is that allows the main bad guy to do what they're doing has some sort of nullification property so that when the PCs try to fight them, they are weakened in some way. They don't have access to their normal power, so that makes it more difficult. Or it could just be a card we toss out. I'm not getting a lot of inspiration from this, are you?
Well, the image kind of looks like a peasant using some really powerful shield magic. So I kind of wanted to play off of what you said before, like the Crossroads Consecrator was at the village and one of their talismans went missing. Well, it was this peasant who found this thing and stole it and realized that it's powerful magic. So he is going to go and fix this problem by gods.
Ah.
And so you've got this rogue peasant with powerful magic who really has no clue what he's doing. And he's just going around causing problems, maybe.
And that could be a good sort of moral dilemma for the PCs is, do you just kill this person who's essentially a good guy, a good girl, trying to do the right thing, but they have power beyond their ability to control? Do you take the power from them and use it for your own? Do you take that power and then give it back to the pilgrims and then not have that power that you might need against the big bad guy or big bad girl when you fight them?
Yeah, and those hard choices are one of the greatest things in games.
Oh, again, it's one of my favorite things to do is to give imperfect options or imperfect solutions to the players. Absolutely. All right. Next up, we have, it's a red card. It's a sorcery called Make Mischief. The art looks like a little imp or a demon causing some problems, breaking some stuff. Make Mischief deals 1 damage to target creature or player. Put a 1/1 red devil creature token onto the battlefield. It has, when this creature dies, it deals 1 damage to target creature or player.
Okay.
What are you thinking?
I can see how that would fit, but I think it might be just adding one too many ingredients to the pot. Like, it would be kind of interesting if our big bad has a little devil companion who always rides around on his shoulder and always causes problems, starts fires or whatever, wherever this guy goes. But I think that would just be a minor detail. I don't think it would be big and story important.
So the only thing I'm thinking is that maybe there's a devil behind everything, and they have sent their minion, this imp, and that's the one whispering these dark secrets into our previously devout cleric or priest. And every time they get confronted by the PCs, the imp says, well, you know, if you promise me a little more, I can get you a little more. Mm-hmm. And it's trying to bargain for the eventual release of the true master, which, you know, could turn this from an adventure into a campaign. That the long con is that there's a, you know, Asmodeus or Orcus or some crazy big demon devil who's trying to get free.
I like that. And now that you say that, I think that I would probably want to switch it so that the little devil or demon was actually working with someone high up in the church. So the guy who abandoned the church is actually the good guy because he saw the corruption building on the inside. Because this devil or this little imp was wandering around and corrupting people. So he's like, well, I'm out.
Okay.
And so he left, and that makes the church the big bad.
That also gives you another opportunity, again, for not a red herring, but a tangent, where mm-hmm. the PCs learn that this person recently left the church. There was a big huff about it. They might be behind what's going on, so they have to seek this person out. And then they tell them, well, actually, the reason I left is because I believe that this person was corrupt. So, yet again, you know, you don't just have go from point A to point B where you kill the big bad guy. You have all these little side adventures. And, you know, you don't have to go after this guy. But if you don't, then you may not learn there's actually an imp or a devil involved. And if you don't know that, then when you get into the final conflict, you're unprepared or ill-prepared, mm-hmm. where you could very easily have gotten, you know, whatever in your mythology, maybe cold iron hurts imps, maybe holy water banishes them, you know, whatever the flavor of your particular world may be. So I like the idea that it's an optional thing that you don't have to do, but if you do it, you're more prepared when you go against the final conflict.
I like it. And of course, you can't get to the priest who left unless you go through one of his wolfkin packs. And so now my brain is going nuts, figuring out how those wolfkin would work in battle. Obviously, the humans would be like shooting arrows from behind, and then the wolves would run up and grab those arrows and rip them out, causing more damage and pain.
Also, I like the idea that they share a hit point pool.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you're attacking the wolves, half that damage goes to the humans. If you're attacking the humans, half that damage goes to the wolves. So you can't just take one out and then focus on the other. You know, you're whittling them both down at the same rate.
Oh, I love it.
Awesome. All right. So our next card is an artifact. It's the Terrarion. And it looks like it's a little device that shows like a mountain scene inside of it. It's almost as if there's a world captured inside of this thing. It enters the battlefield tapped. You can sacrifice it to add 2 mana of any combination of colors to your mana pool. And when it is put into the graveyard, draw a card. So basically it's land captured inside this device. So in magic terms, it's a way to get mana. It's land that you can tap for extra mana.
Okay.
You know, it could be a portal to a different land, different world. Maybe that's where this knowledge came from. Maybe it's where some of the first of these wolves that have this bond came from. I don't have a strong opinion right now. My indication will be just to kind of maybe lay it aside and see if something else happens. I don't know that it adds anything.
Yeah, unless it is a bottled section of hell in which that devil demon resides that's corrupting the church. So maybe it's the source of their black magic.
Okay, yeah, that could work very well. Again, sort of tropey, there's a captured devil or demon inside what looks to be an artifact that, you know, there's a word I'm looking for and I can't think of it.
It looks like a terrarium.
A nondescript. It doesn't like have a neon sign saying devil inside. You know, it just looks like an urn or, you know, a pendant of some sort. It looks very innocuous. That's what I'm looking for, innocuous. But there's this demon inside of it. It could even be the artifact that's sucking the energy or doing this whole thing where you're combining people. Maybe the demon is inside of it. And whenever you use it to siphon the energy, so much stays inside there. And once it gets to full capacity, that's when it will implode or explode or free the thing.
Oh, goodness. So our high priest who left the church thinking he was doing a good thing is actually hastening the apocalypse. Good for you.
Yeah, good for you, Mr. Overachiever. All right. Okay, so this one's awesome. It's called Displace. It's a blue card. It's an instant. And it shows a creepy-looking woman with a bird and a rat in two different jars. Very Frankensteinish experiments, which... It basically goes hand in hand with what we've already said. We're mixing and matching traits between creatures.
I love it. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's anything else we need to say about that one. Do you?
Well, do you think it's actually taking the two bodies and combining them, or is it just linking them like the Wolfkin pack?
You know, no reason why we can't do both. Maybe one is step one of the experiment and the other is step two. So maybe the Wolfkin is the better version, and maybe you have these sort of Frankensteinish genetic splicings that were the earlier versions that are still these monsters that are maybe even caged up, and at some point they're going to get free.
I like it. Yeah, that's really cool.
Awesome. Next up is Mockery of Nature, which again makes perfect sense because we're talking about mixing and matching natures, but it's a Eldrazi
beast. Oh, goodness,
that's
horrible.
Yeah, it's a big giant thing. Emerge, you cast a spell by sacrificing a creature and paying the emerge cost to reduce that creature's converted mana cost. When you cast Mockery of Nature, you may destroy target artifact or enchantment. So I'm seeing this as the next to last battle. Like, this may even be the toughest battle before you get to the big bad. So you've broken into wherever they are. You're fighting through their wolfkin. You uncover these, what we just came up with, these Mockery of Nature. Mm-hmm. Where we mix and match these different creatures together. And, you know, maybe this is almost like a Mass Effect, one of those choices you can make. Do you set them free? Do you kill all of them? And maybe if they choose, like, the kill everyone option, once they're dead, they combine into, like, one giant Frankenstein zombie mishmash creature that they then have to fight. So you have that thing where if you just let them live... Okay, you're done. If you kill them all because they're abominations, it actually makes things worse.
Yeah. You know, with this being Eldrazi, I think this actually is Zendikar.
Maybe. Maybe that's within Zendikar. Again, I apologize. I haven't played Magic for quite a while, so I'm behind on my lore.
Yeah, me too. I haven't played Magic in forever, but I really like this card. I really, 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 really like this one. And it says it destroys a target artifact, and we already have an artifact, that Terrarian or thing, whatever it is. So maybe this is what happens once he fills it up with the energy that he steals. It corrupts him and it binds him to a whole bunch of other animals, you know, all his wolfkin and everything that he's created.
Well, just all the animals they've, you know, there's bits and pieces of all the animals they've ever done any experiments on.
Yeah. And so he just turns into this huge monstrosity. And so you have to fight him. And then after him, maybe you have to go into this shattered artifact and destroy the devil that is trapped inside of it, who still can't get out for whatever reason.
Right. It's that picture I've seen of the bear with the sharks for hands. Have you seen that online?
Yes.
That you're fighting Shark Bear Man. Awesome. All right. So we have a land here. It's Nephelia Academy. Nephelia. I'm sure I'm pronouncing that terribly wrong.
Nephelia Academy? Here it is.
If a spell or ability your opponent... If a spell or ability an opponent controls causes you to discard a card, you may reveal that card and put it on the top of your library instead. So basically, it's an academy. It's a place of knowledge, much like the RPG Academy. Bing! So it could be a place that the characters have to go and research. It could be a place where someone traveling through town is from. You know, it could be maybe part of the larger adventure after this adventure is done. There's information that leads them to the next step, and this is part of that. Now, mm-hmm. What are you thinking?
It's really dark and ominous in the photo, and I think it might actually be part of that corrupt church. So it might have the information they need to kill the bad guys, to prevent the corruption from seeping any further, but it's behind enemy lines. So you have to... you have to deal with these corrupt priests. You have to lie and cheat your way in to do the right thing.
So it's an infiltration mission or heist.
Yeah.
All right. So the MacGuffin they need is there, and they have to, again, you could be almost comedic the way they have to pretend to be someone else. I mean, you're the three ducks in a trench coat pretending to be an evil scientist to get in, or it could be the heist version. It could be Ocean's 11, but basically you got a place you got to get into that you don't belong, whatever thematically it fits your type of adventure.
Yeah, I like it.
Alrighty. Alright, this one is called Noose Constrictor. It's a snake with reach.
That one sounds fun.
Yeah, I mean, my first thought is just, we didn't include snakes in any of our earlier conversations, but you could easily have a snake person. Mm-hmm. You know, basically a Yonti, or however you say that. Or again, like it's the bear man, maybe has a shark on one arm and a snake on the other. So it whips out, constricts you, brings you in, and then the shark eats you.
I think it would be kind of interesting to have some lone snake kin too. You know, just like you have a human and wolf bonded pair, you could have a snake, like a big anaconda human bonded pair. So they're going to be more like the infiltrators working for this guy because they're quiet and stealthy and they can grab you and silence you before you can alarm anyone.
I mean, it could be like the assassin attempt, because of course there's going to be one of those while you're getting close, you're in the tavern, one of these things slides through a crack in the door or through an open window and tries to take out one of the PCs without waking anyone else up.
Yeah.
I like it. All right, here we go. This is our rare card. It's called Providence. It's a white card. It's a sorcery. You may reveal this card from your opening hand. If you do, at the beginning of your first upkeep, your life total becomes 26.
Wow.
So basically, it makes you hardier. And, you know, again, for me, this fits very well with what we're already talking about. You're taking nature and taking animals and the energy of the world in and putting it inside of yourself, which maybe is the reason why this person is doing this to begin with, that they were told this will make them like immortal, because everyone searches for immortality. And again, nothing ever bad happens. and in exchange for trying to become immortal, they are about to free a demon on the world. Is there anything in other sort of avenues that you see with that card?
It kind of looks like he's standing in some kind of forest. Are those trees next to him?
Yeah, they look like trees that have been carved into shapes, a bird or almost like a Pegasus type of imagery with candles. It's like a very solemn sort of quiet nature scape.
Yeah, and it's white. You know, I like white cards. I like white magic. But the art has kind of a red tinge to it, which makes me think of blood or fire, which goes very well with our devil theme we've got going on. So he's tying himself to the land in order, like maybe he's bonding himself to the land, much like he's bonding these people with animals. And so he is going to share hit point totals with the actual land. So if you're attacking him, then you're actually doing harm to the little forest or glade that he's attached himself to. So, you know, when he's healthy, the glade's healthy. When he's getting the crap kicked out of him, then the glade is dying as well. And I think that might be a pretty interesting note to add to the story.
Well, I'm also a fan of the bad guys not being Captain Planet villains who are just evil for the sake of being evil. And maybe this person, the big bad evil person at some point, found this tranquil grove. And that's where they started to feel power and they started to learn things. And essentially, it's like a corrupted place. It was one time a you know, place of good and positivity, and the devil and the imps have corrupted it. So someone who, like, if you go there, maybe when the big bad evil guy's not there and the players are investigating, they can see that it's like a druidic circle or whatever, but there's small changes have been made and certain glyphs have been added that have twisted it, and it's no longer a place of positivity. So the bad guy thinks they're doing the right thing. They're not evil. They're misled.
Mm-hmm. I think it would be pretty interesting to have like these large, massive trees. They look really big, but they're all gnarled and they look healthy and they're leaking sap. But occasionally that sap will just like burst into flame or something. because that's how you'd get the little candle flames on the trees.
And that could be even be maybe how the PCs find out about it, is that one of the local workers, or, you know, one of the locals of the village or town, whatever, they get horribly burned. And, you know, in investigating, they were cutting down trees in the forest, like they always do. And one of the trees, like, spurt sap all over them. And then it caught mm-hmm. fire like napalm, and no one could get it off. You know, and so they're horribly burned, and PCs go and investigate. Maybe that's how they find the place the first time before they even know what's truly going on.
They slam their axe into the trunk of the tree, and a bunch of little seed pods get shaken loose, and they explode when they hit the ground.
Yeah, surface-to-air missiles going on. All right, so either the cards were out of order, or we got a bonus card. This is Conduit of Storms.
Of Storms.
And this looks almost like it is. It's a werewolf horror. Whenever Conduit of Storms attacks, add red to your mana pool at the beginning of your next phase. And then you can transform. Oh, yeah, it's one of those transforming cards. And on the back, it's an Eldrazi werewolf.
Yep.
So, again, nice. That fits perfectly with what we're talking about. You have this creature that is corrupted by outside forces and erupts into an even more unholy terror nightmare when you're fighting it.
I think this is actually going to be the form the devil takes inside that Terrarian, or whatever that card was called. I don't remember. But this would be the final bad guy after you fight the, what was it called? The horror of nature? Mockery of nature. So you fight the mockery of nature that is the guy who was wielding this artifact. And then after you dispatch him, you realize that this artifact is cracked and it's still exuding this dark, dark energy. So you find a way to go into that artifact and you fight the werewolf horror. And when you kick him down to zero hit points, he raises again as the Eldrazi werewolf.
I like it. And our final card is a token, and it's a wolf. So the only thing that makes me think of is that, you know, maybe the wolves in some way are good guys because they're also being forced to do these things. So maybe like the alpha wolf doesn't like what's happening to his pack. And you could actually have this wolf seek out the PCs and, you know, not intelligently, but like help them. It, you know, mm-hmm. it sort of pads around and helps them find things because it wants its people back too. It's wolves back, and it wants them freed from this curse.
I like the idea that this alpha wolf has actually been bonded with a human, but the human was so weak-willed that the wolf was actually able to yank most of that human's intelligence away from it. So there's just a human body laying somewhere, withering away, completely comatose, because this wolf has been able to yank all that stuff. So he actually has, you know, the basics of speech, and he can understand Ooh. What people are saying. So he can go there and he can actually communicate with the PCs and try and explain to them what's going on. That might actually work for a really good twist to the story, especially if the PCs ever end up stumbling around wondering what the heck is going on, trying to figure out what their next step is. You could have this speaking wolf show up and explain some details and say, you need to go here and free my pack.
I really like the idea of that, is that if the PCs are floundering, then the wolf can show up. If the PCs mm-hmm. are doing fine, then the wolf has been captured by the big bad evil guy or one of the lieutenants or whatever. And so if they, you know, why is this wolf in a cage when none of the other wolves are? And mm-hmm. that gives them a chance to talk to him or it, and an offer of help and information. You know, maybe that's how they find out about the Tranquil Grove, is that this wolf can lead them there or tell them how to get to it, if in exchange for being freed, because it wants its pack to be either killed because of this curse or freed from it, so they can return to being wolf people.
I like it. I like it a lot.
So that whole pack kind of themed together very, very well. Usually we're bringing in a lot of disparate ideas. I don't know that we need to do a lot of revision. Like, I mean, I would want to obviously outline that out, but I think we have a solid adventure right there.
Yeah, you've got a high priest stealing an artifact from the church and going out and forming a bond with a grove while the church turns to dark magic because that talisman that was stolen was extremely important to them, and now they can't do their job, so they turn to this dark magic to do it. The high priest doesn't realize that the talisman is actually containing an evil, and so all of his efforts start corrupting and stuff. And so the PCs have got corrupt influences on both sides. They've got a corrupt church, a corrupt high priest who's trying to fight the corrupt church, and you've got innocent people getting caught in the mix, and animals and humans getting bonded until they start glomming together into these monstrosities. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I think it's solid. I would have no problem running that adventure. Again, D&D is pretty much my favorite game for those types of things, so I'd run it as a D&D game.
It would totally work extremely well for Shadow of the Demon Lord.
Oh, yes, actually, you're right. That might even be a better version than D&D for that particular scenario. Definitely, if you want to lean into the horror tropes.
Yes.
And the body mortification or body... What,
mutilation.
Body mutilation, absolutely. That fits into that very well. The Eldrazi horrors could easily be used that way. And then you also have the madness and corruption tracks in Shadow of the Demon Lord that you don't have in standard D&D that you could use, that as they experience these things, maybe they could kind of become corrupt. So absolutely, I agree. Maybe even slightly better than that. Sort of my normal MO would be to start this as a level one game. It starts really slow with just, you know, weird animals in the forest, animals acting weird, and then, you know, probably fourth or fifth level before they get to the end. But to make this truly epic, it probably needs to start at fourth or fifth level, and then the PCs be around 10th level when they fight the final werewolf Eldrazi horror.
Yeah. Yeah, if I were going to put it into Shadow of the Demon Lord, I would make it a full 0 to 10th level arc. And I think the beginning hook would probably be you are in town and you find, or you're in a town that these crossroads consecrators came to and they visited. And then someone stole something from these crossroads consecrators and the perpetrator was found and punished. And so you are tasked by the town mayor to return the item. And so that's how you get all tied into everything, because you show up at the consecrator's base of operations and they're either corrupt or they're dead or who knows what's going on. That would be a perfect time for you to show up and it just be a bloody mess. And then they stand up and moan and come after your brains. And
I love the idea of the lumberjacks like coming into town just covered in burns, because at that point you're gonna have no idea what's happening. Like, this does not feel like that adventure at all, but you just happen to be there. Maybe someone in your party is a cleric or a healer, and so they're asked, you know, can you help, because our medicine isn't going to fix this. I also like the idea that a stranger came into town and did something wrong, either absolutely committed a crime or just freaked everybody out. So they were arrested. They were put into a makeshift jail because this town is too small to have an actual jail. And the next day they're gone, but there's like a molted skin in the cage. So they basically, they were the snake version and they were able to slither out. But all that's left behind is clothes and like this dried husk of skin. That would be freaky intro with no, again, you're not giving anything away
yet.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, awesome. That would be really fun.
Okay, so any final words on this? I think we're ready to go. I think I could run this tonight.
Cool. So I'll be back online in a few hours and
maybe at a Catacon 2017 or at the faculty retreat. We could absolutely run it. That would be awesome.
Yeah, this sounds like a really fun story. I would play the hell out of this.
Me too, man. Me too. Awesome. So Devin, thank you so much for joining me today. Anyone watching this, that's what we do with Synergy Sessions. Take a pack of Magic the Gathering cards, go through them, and we try to use them to create an outline for an adventure. I thought this one was very successful, and I encourage you to do the same. We will obviously be putting this up on our YouTube page. Use the same cards and then email us or put in the comments what you would have done with them, what you would have done differently, how you could use those same cards to create a vastly different type of adventure, and then we can share these on future episodes.
Yeah, if you started with that drag under card, like if that was your very first card, you would have a much different adventure than we came up with right here.
Yep, absolutely. And that is the beauty of doing this, because sometimes we do it like we did today, where we do it kind of off the top of our domes. Other times we will share the cards ahead of time and come to the table. And almost every time we've done this that way, we've come up with very different adventures. It's not just the same one. So I think it's a very powerful, inspirational tool, and I encourage anyone to use it. And again, please share with us what you come up with. So any last words, Devin, before we wrap up for today?
No, thanks for letting me hop on the mics with you. I had a lot of fun.
Fantastic. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for being part of my network. Anyone who is listening, please go find Sharkbone Podcast. It is an excellent podcast to listen to. It is truly a feeding frenzy of RPG ideas. And for Devin, this has been Michael with Synergy Session. And remember, hit the Academy. If you're having fun, you're doing it right. Thanks, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the RPG Academy podcast, the flagship program of the RPG Academy Network. If you enjoy what we do here, then please check out therpgacademy.com and visit our site partners for additional entertainment and gaming advice.
We do this out of love for the hobby and for you, our fans. The podcast and site content will always be free for you to enjoy and utilize. But we do have expenses related to the show. If you'd like to help out in any way, please visit patreon.com/VRPG Academy and check out the rewards we are providing for your monthly pledges. We use all funds that come in to improve the show and give you better content and quality.
And if you don't have the coin to spend, don't worry. You can still help us out in many ways. You can subscribe to our show on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. You can leave us a 5-star review. Also, if you clear your cookies and you visit Amazon or the Drive-Thru RPG site through our portal, we get a small percentage of what you pay, and it doesn't cost you anything extra.
Just like any RPG, our site works best with open lines of communication. We love talking with our listeners about everything. Please contact us with any questions, concerns, and comments that you have. We also love to hear feedback and experiences from your own games. You can email us via podcast@therpgacademy.com and reach us on social media, such as Facebook and Google+, @therpgacademy.
But Twitter is usually the fastest way to reach us. You can find my favorite co-host, TheCalebG, @TheCalebG.
And you can find my favorite co-host, Michael, @TheRPGAcademy.
Thanks for listening, and as always, if you're having fun, you're doing it right.